flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, this is more like it. I know we had a little, as Kenny calls it, a whore's divorce yesterday. We only were on the air for about an hour. But can I do something before I, Rico, before we get into this?
Yeah.
Can we turn our attention to Kenny? Kenny, what's wrong? Because you don't look right today at all. Like, are you okay on a serious level, or are you just pouting?
On a serious level, I'm just fine. I am just pouting.
Noted.
I'm in my feelings right now, okay, as the kids would say.
Noted.
Why are you pouting?
No. Because his hockey team blows again, and his football team ended his life Saturday. I just didn't know if it was serious Kenny or sports Kenny. Sports wah Kenny. Gotcha. So now that I know it's B, I won't feel terrible about an occasional nutcracker. If it was serious, I would just leave him alone. Now we can do business.
Gotcha.
How are you? You good?
I'm good.
What I'm not going to allow today is Ben Johnson slander. So you can take it somewhere else. I listen to mornings and middays, and all I'll tell you is you are some hypocritical sons of bitches. If somebody offered you $13 million, you'd work for Satan. You'd let Satan bang your wife. So please miss me with the, he's a traitor. He just got paid. He's the second highest paid coach in football besides Bunda Larusky. So just don't do it here. I'm not even having those conversations.
But he knew better. He went to Chicago.
He's the Benedict traitor or guy who like money. Like, they did the same thing with him that you did with Monty.
Yep.
So that is my PSA. Everything else is on the table. If you want to talk about you're upset he's gone, cool. You want to say he called a lousy game Saturday, also cool. What we're not going to do is, he's a traitor.
What? Are we accepting the call of the reason why you lost is because he really wasn't paying attention? Because he was interviewing.
I'm not mad at people for thinking it. It's human nature, but it is a ridiculous notion. That's the only way I can put it. It's a ridiculous notion.
Yeah.
It's called compartmentalization. Highly successful people are capable of it. Taking an hour out of 2 weeks to do a Zoom call did not upend your game plan.
Because he didn't have a game plan when he did the Zoom call because he didn't know who he was playing.
So what you just said is actually how I think I want to start the show now.
Okay.
This is good. No ball break. Everyone, after things like Saturday happen, it requires a boogeyman. Everybody wants to blame someone. Because the reality is just, I don't think from coaching the players to you, two-thirds of the fan base, I don't think you took this team serious, and I think it showed. We talked about that yesterday. I won't have to belabor it. The reason people right now sound the way Jim Costa sounds is they never allowed for the possibility of losing that game. So now that it's happened, they go, they sound like Kelsey. Well, what happened? That's what they sound like.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you have 56-2. But no, the Ben Johnson stuff, look, losing Ben Johnson's a big deal. I'm not minimizing it. I'm just not calling the man a traitor or that he somehow effed you over.
There was no sabotage.
There's 32 of these jobs. And the best one all year, what did we talk about? The Bears are the best job opportunity.
The Bears had the quarterback. Now, the Raiders were to give him full autonomy. You could just pick and choose whatever you want. But the Bears had a QB, which means you go into the draft and you just try to find pieces to build around.
Correct. So the question I would ask is this. Let's get done with Saturday before we move ahead.
right? I know there's going to be a Goff conversation. I know there's going to be a Ben Johnson conversation. I know there will be a Super Bowl window conversation. We're in it for the long haul here. But I want to hear where you're at today. All right, you've had a couple of days to cool the engines. Settle it down. Who do you blame? And all I will tell you is Rico's been through it, right? A highly seeded team at home, losing a big game. I've been through it as a Giants fan. Lord knows David has lived in it forever. The only thing I can tell you about failure this big, you can either be the wah police or you can learn from it. Now, there's a good amount of you. You don't need to learn a damn thing. You're hurting. You took it serious and you're heartbroken. And I feel awful for you. But if you're one of these Chuck Schwartzky super fans that I've had to deal with the last couple of weeks, and you vilified Rico and I for daring to suggest Washington had a chance and building a pathway and lecturing you on being careful, no, you're going to get to enjoy the taste of your own blood all offseason. So learn from it. Don't ever go to that discotheque again. Don't ever do that crap. Take it serious, because there are a lot of guys who wear yellow jackets in Canton who never won a Super Bowl.
Yep.
It's really hard. Now, I'm not going to say you can't do it next year, but do I think you're doing it? No. Do I think you blew the best two chances you'll ever have? Yes. Up 17 at San Francisco in the NFC title game, or off by at home, rested rookie QB. Oh, you blew it. And that hurts, and it's going to haunt you for a lifetime. We all live with different hauntings as fans. Saturday's going to haunt you. The San Francisco thing, the further you get away from it, Rico, I'll tell you, it may not hurt that way now. Man, if you don't get back to an NFC title game and you sit there years from now, up 17 in an NFC title game, that's the one that will always haunt me. Now, I know you think Saturday's worse. We're going to get to that in the 3 o'clock. I want to give people a chance with Saturday. Get it out. Get it out. Use this show like Kenny uses his bidet. Just clean it all up. Clean it up. You got a full diaper. Let's clean it up. Just get it out of your system. You got a complaint. You got a question. You want to vent. Do whatever you need to do.
Yeah. You don't understand why this happened. Why did they think this? Why did they start Montgomery instead of Gibbs?
Arrogance.
Yeah.
Then I don't want to, you know, the hard part is I don't want to repeat the 90 minutes we were on the air yesterday, but I also know a majority of people weren't listening.
No, they weren't.
So I'll try
yesterday to. Yesterday was a soft opening.
It was a hors d'oeuvre.
Yes.
So let's get to the people. 248-539-9797. And understand, there's no topic that's off limits. It's just I don't want to do the future stuff all in one shot. What's going on?
Just caller number three.
Mark. Oh, poor Mark. Okay. We'll get to it. You guys know our friend, our young entrepreneurial free bet friend. He didn't do a Washington with the points hedge, and he went down with the ship. We will talk to Mark shortly. We will get to you guys. I want to try to shout out to Doug Karsh. I want to keep open lines. I want to give people an opportunity. Why did I turn Doug into Harvey Dent?
I don't know.
I want to give people a chance to let it all out. And then, yes, I do have some Jared Goff stuff, because you know what's funny? Oh, how fickle. Do you know what Cookie's middle name is? James Fickle Costa.
Yeah, somehow I don't think we're going to be hearing that chant in grocery stores anytime.
Amazing how fickle.
You can't win with Goff.
Oh, really?
You can't win a Super Bowl with Goff.
Okay.
You need a mobile QB.
Yeah. Hey, cutscene. I bet you can get Lamar on discount. No, okay, David.
That's slander.
He effed people over for the last time. I was nice to him. He seduced me into thinking he was a different man.
Mark Andrews.
Okay. No.
If I go
Mike,
we're literally at a church balloon toss, and I toss you this bottle. You catch it. See? That was Mark Andrews.
Hey, here's Lamar in the first half. Rico, catch.
He had a bad first half.
You don't get to have bad halves.
But
Josh Allen had a bad game.
He came back. He put his team in position. Andrews fumbles it at the 50.
Oh, what? How? What did Lamar do?
Hey, look, I got the football, y'all.
Hey.
It was ridiculous.
You know what? When Jared Goff threw for five picks and they won that game, we praised him.
I have a Goff stat.
We praised him in Houston.
I have stats and things and cars. I have the ability.
They did a balloon toss.
Here you go, Mark.
Catch.
No.
Handed off to Derrick Henry.
You know what?
The play worked.
Okay. All right. I'm just done with Lamar.
Would not have slander for Lamar.
And I don't like the head warmer in the press conference. Take it off. Reed, we're going to get to all the people, including guy I'm actually heartbroken for. Caller Mark.
Yeah.
We'll talk.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Wednesday. I'd say stay warm, but good luck. David's dressed like he's going on an expedition to Antarctica. Kang walked out of here in a parka. What the hell's going on? That glass could take a semi-truck, but it can't handle -2 degrees? What the hell's going on in there?
That is correct. It is freezing in this studio.
Now, Kenny, luckily, has the benefit of alcohol seeping through his pores. That keeps you warm. Kenny's like, no, I'm good. David's about to put a jacket on.
It is cold, and I walked in there right before the show.
Nice and toasty back here, boys.
Did somebody open a window?
It feels like it. That's from that. What is that? That ambassador rum you drink, or whatever the hell it is.
Admiral Nelson. Damn it, get it right.
No, I got Jets on the brain because Aaron Glenn's up on the TV with a Jet logo. Mr. Ambassador hired him. Literally a moment ago, Aaron Glenn is gone. So let's do this. We're going to have a Goff conversation today. So this will probably get bloody. We do want to talk a little bit about a topic Rico got invested in with a few callers yesterday, but do it in a more formal manner, which is which loss gutted you more? Last year up 17 against San Francisco in the NFC title game, or what went down Saturday night? So we've got a lot to do, but look, here's my question. And I want to see if people are going to live in reality or fantasy land. And that just really is the dividing line in this. So it's bad enough if you lose both your coordinators or one of your coordinators. The idea is you had high-level people here.
Yep.
And they're both high-level enough that they had their choice of job. Ben Johnson, I truly believe any team not named the Patriots, the job could have been his if he wanted it. For Aaron Glenn, at least two of the six openings were his if he wanted it. Saints or Jets.
The Jets didn't want Ben Johnson either, don't forget.
They couldn't get Ben Johnson. Yeah. But okay. So here's my question. You lose both coordinators. You know where I stand on that. But now you lose Terrell Williams, your D-line coach. He's going to be a DC. You are almost assuredly losing one or both of Hank Fraley and Mark Brunell. And you got to be on the lookout now where you're going, wait a minute. In this hypothetical space we're in, I lost my OC, my DC, my D-line, QB, and O-line coach. I mean, it is different when Dan Campbell got here in that, yes, this will be a more coveted job. But you shouldn't be replacing as many as five assistants, including both your primary lieutenants. But if you have to, I don't understand. And this is a question I know I can't ask you because I know you're with me on this. So it's like, be curious. I'm being curious. I want to understand how any well-reasoned adult could call a radio show and say, nothing to worry about. Going to be just fine.
And here's the worst part. You go through that whole roster of coaches you lost, it's a lot easier if you won the Super Bowl, because you could say, man, it's justified the means. Guys, we finished the race. You didn't.
Mm, correct.
So,
and the way I view it, guys, there aren't enough qualified people for the amount of jobs that are available. Okay, there's 32 OCs and 32 DCs. More than half of these guys suck at their job.
Yep.
And there aren't 32 high-caliber OCs available. There aren't 32 high-caliber DCs. Then you get into the positional groupings. So when people, like Rico, what I laugh at is people think the Ben Johnsons are built in a lab. No, you found Ben Johnson only through throwing Anthony Lynn in the garbage, then Dan Campbell admitting he couldn't call plays, and you found this guy that at the time was 34 years old and was this Jedi. Okay, great. The odds of doing that again, very low.
Yeah. I mean, because, it, look, no smarm to Ben Johnson, but it was almost, you're all we got, kid. Until we find something else, it's your job.
Is that Kenny without a beard on the TV? I think that's actually what Kenny would look like without a beard.
You're right.
That's Kenny Cott.
You're right.
Live on SportsCenter. Bald Kenny. That's amazing.
With no beard.
Keep going. Kenny, is that you without a beard? This cat on TV? That kind of, I think that's what you would look like.
What are we talking about here?
The guy with the Eagles logo behind him.
You think that's what I would look like?
With no beard.
With no beard?
Yeah.
Babyface Kenny.
No, I would look like that, except like a 16-year-old version of that. I have severe babyface.
All right. Thank you. So my question to the people is this. What is your level of concern as you sit here today? And again, if you choose to live in fantasy land, that's your prerogative. I'm not. My level of concern is a 4 out of 5. You're losing both coordinators. You've already lost your D-line coach. And the odds are, I'll split the difference with you. You're losing one of Fraley and Brunell. So, yeah, I'm a 4 out of 5. 5 means you just don't think the team's going to be capable of staying afloat. No, I don't believe that. 4 means you're not going to nail every hire. There will be slippage, but you're good enough to probably still be a playoff team next year. All right? A 3 would be, look, I lost Ben Johnson and my quarterback might take a step back on its own. But being a level 1 or level 2, no. This is too much turnover. And it is not a finished product. Uh-uh. No, I don't believe that Aiden coming off a broken leg will play 65 snaps a game next year. No, I don't believe Aleem McNeil will start the season healthy. I don't. Hell, I may not see him in mid-October. No, I don't believe magically you will have the fearsome foursome up front. And your D-line... Guys, this is how the league works and why I'm angry about them losing Saturday, not doing the Costa, I will remember you, Sarah McLachlan video. No, I'm not sad. I'm pissed because you only get so many bites at the apple. Now, Dan Campbell's charged with basically rebuilding his entire staff.
Yeah.
Yeah, pardon me if I don't think that's going to go great. But I want to know what you guys think. Where's your 1 to 5?
I'm at a 4. I may be leading 4.5 if I'm allowed to, because I don't know how Aiden's going to come back to this. I don't know if they're actually going to go out there and draft some players, or they're going to go out and get more fun players. And by fun players, I mean like receivers and running backs and tight ends. Are you going to go out and get some offensive or defensive linemen early in the draft rounds? Man, that's a lot to replace. And historically speaking, most teams don't get better when you flip both coordinators in one season. So, yeah, if things break right, you're at a 4. If things break wrong, you're at about a 4.5 or a 5. So, yeah, you've hit critical mass. This is crisis mode, in my opinion.
And again, please, can we not do this thing of, oh, well, Aaron and Ben would never raid Dan Campbell's staff. Don't. Guys, it's a business.
Yeah.
Come on, man. You're moving your wife, your kids. You're moving your life. You need qualified people who are looking for a promotion.
Yeah. And you know what? I've worked well with you. And
that's right.
You know what? You used to do this. Because trust me, it's stuff that they talk about all the time. In the event I ever get a head coaching job, would you mind coming and being my OC or my DC? Yeah, sure. All right. And you've already had that talk. So it's not a big surprise. I'm with you. Dan Campbell, because we said this year, man, he should be up for coach of the year. No, if they could do anything remotely of 11 wins next year, that's your coach of the year. I'm just going to call it early because that means he did a great job filling in a lot of positions.
And look, could you have the next Ben Johnson here? Maybe. Is it Scotty Montgomery? Is it Engstrand, your passing game coordinator? I don't know.
Randall Lell.
Okay, look, throw whatever name you want, huh? It's just my biggest fear. There is absolutely no way Jared Goff will have the relationship with the next guy that he had with Ben Johnson.
Yeah.
And therefore, it concerns me about Jared Goff. Because to get the best out of Jared, think about what you've done. And I like Jared Goff. But you had this symbiotic relationship between one of the best OCs in the sport, mm-hmm. a guy who was well thought of enough that now, what is this, the third cycle, he could have had a job. You lose that, you got to rebuild from ground up. Yeah, will Goff have input on the hire? Unless I'm clueless, which I'm not. Yes, he will. And then the defensive side? If you want to write it off and go, well, Aaron Glenn sucks, then how'd you have a top five defense until the injuries really took? Does he not get credit for that? Does he not get credit for 2 weeks ago, the game plan against Minnesota? So, I having to do the idea of, well, this is the system we run and the culture. Rico, you nailed it. These are men. They're not machines. They come in with their own ideas, their own way of doing things. And yes, they all got to work for Daddy Campbell. But you can't just 3D print another Ben Johnson or Aaron Glenn.
Right.
And then much less the quality control layer that's underneath them.
Right.
Because so I would love to hear from the people on this.
Well, Mike, there's a deeper topic in there, but let's just leave it simple because with your next OC, okay, yeah, you work with Goff, but what if Goff ain't your guy?
Well, then you're not taking the job because they're not in a position to move on, nor do I think that's advisable. And the one thing I'll tell people, Jared Goff's contract is going to really trigger. It starts next year, but his cap number in 26 goes to $69 million. Meaning, you're
stuck with him for 2 years.
You're 2 years, but if you redo the deal to not have $70 million on the books for your quarterback, that means he's your quarterback for 3 and 4 years.
Okay.
So I want people to understand that, like, no one's walking through this door and going, I'll take the gig, but I don't want the quarterback. That's not right on the table.
That's why I said I don't want to derail it, but it's just like, what if they end up doing it like Cousins? Like, yeah, we'll pay you, but you're going to sit. We're going to move on to this person. But saying all of that, bringing in all of these coaches, they're coming in with their own strategy, and to think that, oh, well, you'll do everything and run plays like Ben Johnson and do the trick plays. Next guy may not be that type of person. Next guy may come in here and say, you know what? We're just going to run the ball. We're going to learn. Run the ball, play action. That's our offense.
And there's no way to preview it. I'll give you an example. So you look at a guy like Scotty Montgomery. Am I going to hold his failed head coaching tenure at East Carolina, his alma mater, against him? No. But I also can't say he's a genius. Like, people are going to come out and go, well, Ergstrand's, he's just like Ben Johnson.
Is he?
That's like saying two cups of coffee are the same.
Yeah.
I'm not going to put this crazy, I'm not going to be negative saying they can't possibly have a good hire. They can. But what I don't want to do is separate it now. Because now both sides of the football are going to be in coaching rehab. I mean, these are major hires. And remember, yeah. It's not about staying afloat. Can you be better than you've been to win a Super Bowl? Magic 8-Ball says highly unlikely.
Especially on the defensive side because it's like, okay, what do we have? Because, heck, by the end of the year, I'm like, I don't even know any of these players. 40? Okay, I don't know who you are. God bless you. Bless your heart.
Mo Allen.
You out there trying. So, okay.
248-539-9797. Yes, we're going to have a Goff conversation. And maybe this is the springboard to it. Because losing Ben Johnson, yes, I think it hurts Jared Goff. Yes, I think he takes a step back. Meaning, I don't think there'll be an MVP in his future. I think he's good. But make no mistake, I don't believe anyone will ever get the better out of Goff than what Ben Johnson got. Yeah. And before you think that's me being negative, no, it's how much we think of Ben Johnson. Mm-hmm. Can't have it both ways. You can't sit there all bricked up that you have Ben Johnson, and then when he walks out the door,
it didn't matter.
That's not how it works. Yeah. All right, be curious. And I want to talk to the people. I'm fascinated. Aaron Glenn's the Jets head coach. We'll see who he takes with him now.
Okay, so in the midst of all the Lions conversation, and again, if you want the full deal, Odyssey.com Rewind, 2 o'clock. But the whole press conference was played 9 a.m. this morning. You can use Odyssey.com Rewind, the chapter function. It's right there for you. But this is, guys, once in a while, David will say, listen, we need to take a time out from what we're doing. I have something for you. And no, no jokes. It's I trust David. So I'm going to sit and listen. You guys are going to sit and listen. And David knows if he's derailing this train for horse bleep, there's hell to pay. So this is exciting now. David, the floor is yours.
Yeah, I have to ask you about this. Jeremy mentioned it in his update, and I'm looking at the article here. Evan Petzl has an article here on the Detroit Tigers. It says the Detroit Tigers want to sign a high-leverage reliever to rack up saves, and they're also trying to sign Bregman so he can play third base. Bregman is the top priority, it says, but it says the Tigers are unlikely to get both. It says it's unlikely the Tigers will address both desires, right-handed hitter and reliever with elite options under the 2025 payroll plans, given that Bregman is projected to cost at least $25 million and a top reliever at least $10 million. As a result, the Tigers risk missing out on the top reliever while waiting for Bregman to lower his asking price. So they don't want to pay both, Bregman at $25 and a reliever at $10 million.
If you're attempting to make me upset, I'm not going to be. Because no, I'm not being smarmy. They're just not a serious operation. And the plan I told you before last season, and I'm sure it's on our YouTube channel somewhere, just wait for the kids. And they're going to sell you on Baseball Prospectus and Baseball America, and we got five top 100 prospects. Just wait for the kids. They're not going to spend, David. I made peace with that early on in the offseason. So my only reaction is no reaction. I don't have to take them seriously. I don't have to get invested. I don't have to care. And I don't think the playoffs altered their plan at all. And I have to tell you this. I'm starting to view Scott Harris as a little bit of an enemy too. Not just Chris. Because the reality is, if AJ and Scott pounded the desk and wanted certain things, it would be different, and you'd know about it. But what's Scott Harris's pedigree? They had a no-name team in San Francisco go win 105 games. Now, did they do anything? No, they got aced out of the playoffs. But that was his 1 year. And what has he shown so far here? Small market approach, money ball, pitching chaos, roster flexibility, a.k.a. we're looks like, feels like, sounds like fiscally responsible. Look. There's no reason on paper you can't go spend the $35 million.
Correct.
But I'm not going to yell and scream if they don't want to pay Bregman a 5 or 6 year deal. I don't either. I like Alex Bregman, not just because he likes horse racing. Factually true, he does. He owns horses. But he's a good player. But I don't want to pay him at age 35, 36. Everything you read is they've drawn a line in the sand at 4 years. But the idea that, like, well, if we get the reliever, we can't get Bregman, that's where you lose me. Because that's where an owner who is dying to win says, listen, I'm not owning this team to lose money. But it's not like the Tigers have a payroll that even enters that conversation. Because before any of the apologists want to come out, there's a reason owners never open their books. If you were losing money, open your books. Show me. Show me. You're not. And I'm not asking you to have a $400 million, $300 million, $200 million payroll. I'm not. But I'm not going to get upset about it because we know what's going on.
See, you're a better man than me.
No, David, it's that it's January 23rd. That this community got a anesthesia-free vasectomy this Saturday night. They still got frozen peas on their nuts. I can't sit here and scream about a baseball team that nobody cared about 90% of the season last year. It was like the last 2 weeks of the season, people realized, Tigers are winning games. What am I going to do?
Look, I'm also not going to scream, but I'm also not going to lie to the people when I tell you that, yes, while things were going on Saturday with the Detroit Lions, there was a signing in Toronto with Anthony Santander.
Correct.
And I told Kenny this Tuesday, we all got together, I said, it's under $100 million. Why couldn't the Tigers do this?
They are not.
There's deferred money that I just saw today. Why didn't they do that? And then this story. And it just angers me because I'm not there. I have not.
You got to let go of the
rope. I have not gone to the spot where you're at where they're not going to. In my mind, I have not gone there yet.
No, let me be clear. I don't care anymore.
Understood.
No, if they don't care, I don't care. And look, they can build a baseball team however they so choose. And if they win, I'm happy. And if they lose, I'm not. I disagree on principle with how they run their franchise because it's small market. And I've given you the data. I've shown you what history shows you. And if you don't spend in the top half of the league, you don't win a World Series. And I have to be candid. What the Dodgers have done in this offseason is a disgrace. And it really hurts my ability to take the sport seriously. Do you realize the Dodgers have almost $1.4 billion in deferred money on their roster? $1.4 billion. They're signing Kirby Yates, the reliever, who would have been high leverage here, or Tanner Scott, high leverage here. They're signing them as a joke. They signed Sasaki. Don't even need him. So I can't take it seriously because here's what's going to happen. You saw what they did to my team, and the Yankees do spend. You're simply not going to beat those teams. And I'm not a daiquiri ballpark fan guy. Kenny wants to go down there in his Waylon Jennings t-shirt and rifle heaters and have a good afternoon. God bless. But you're never winning a World Series this way. So I'm not going to, I'm not doing it. And what I won't do is be disingenuous and act like it's bloody murder if they don't get Alex Bregman. I'm not doing that because I actually agree I don't want to go over 4 years. Now, would I pay a higher AAV to get the shorter term? Yes. But I can't change Scott Harris, and I sure as hell can't change Chris. At what point do you start to blame AJ a little bit? You know, if AJ were kicking and screaming, AJ's got plenty of contacts in the national media. You know who I'm talking about. And if AJ wasn't happy doing business this way, I think we'd know about it. So collectively, they're doing it their way. They can have it. I'm not interested. And as much fun as it'll be the night that Job debuts in the regular season or the day they call up McGonagall in 2026, I'm not into wasting years of my life. And they made the playoffs last year. I wanted to build upon that. They don't. So do whatever you guys like. Because what I won't do is I won't get mad if the ballpark's empty. And I cannot make any demands of people to take their hard-earned money and spend it on a team that doesn't want to spend. Do whatever you like. And if you want to have a little Waylon Jennings Thursday afternoon with a Tiger daiquiri, God bless. Don't ask me to. Kenny, that was an assumption. You do seem a little bit more like an Alan Jackson guy.
No, I'm more of a Willie guy than a Waylon guy, but that's okay.
Okay, the weed, that's fine. All right. Bottom line, David, I understand what you're trying to do. I'm just not going to give in. What am I supposed to do? On paper, does
talk
it make
me off the ledge?
There's no ledge. The payroll plan and all that stuff. I don't think anything we're talking about would greatly affect the long-term viability of them to take care of their own players. When I look at it, I see it as they have a window here of pre-arb, outright arbitration players, guys that have team control. You can spend now. And by the time those guys, like a Parker Meadows, like a Riley Green, et cetera, when those guys need their money, the players you're signing now fall off the books. I can't change the hobby thing. I mean, I don't know what benefit there is to cutting him right now unless it's just to make people like me happy because I have a bloodlust and I hate Javi Baez. I'm not mad they haven't cut him yet. I'll be mad if he's in the opening day lineup. If the middle of your infield is Javi and Gleyber Torres, let me tell you, cue up the carousel music. Boop, 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 boop. I can't wait to see that. But no, David, I just have no illusions that they're going to, quote, go for it or get serious in the way that we want them to. Now, if all their young players hit, if you've hired Brad Holmes of the baseball diamond, maybe. But 29 out of the last 30 World Series champions, you had a top half payroll. I'm going to go with history. And when you see what the Dodgers are doing, or the Mets, or the Yankees, whatever it is, you're not beating those teams. Why do you think last year, as much credit as I gave this team for rallying and making it, I'm like, oh no, I hope you beat Cleveland, because my Yankees are going to murder you. Like, you had no hope in the world of beating my team. None.
Pitching chaos was not going to do it.
None. You would have got put ass first into a wood chipper. And now you start to see how some of these, like, look at what the Dodgers are doing. You think you're beating that team? Please, man. Just stop. So I can't bring myself to get angry because they're not playing the sport in a way that enters you into that discussion. Maybe they will at some point. But in the here and now, no. I can't lie to you and say that Alex Bregman is the difference between winning the World Series and not. They need so much more than that. And as, man, I did my level best this offseason to temper my own expectations, and I didn't bring up the big dogs. I sat here and said, geez, I wouldn't mind Christian Walker on a three-year deal. I wouldn't mind. David, they're just not going to do it. They don't want to let go of Torque. They still want to have room for God knows who. Do whatever you like. I don't care.
Yeah, I guess I should have known when they didn't even get a Jake Berger. They didn't even attempt. I should have known then.
And listen, the best benefit they have, you're in the most limp Schwanz division in baseball because KC don't do nothing. Minnesota don't do nothing. Cleveland makes you look like Scrooge McDuck with a tower of money. I mean, Cleveland is government cheese.
They just traded away pieces.
Cleveland can't be bothered. So, hey, look, you're in a division where every team needs a blue pill. Maybe there's your way out. The AL Central, it's flaccid city. But it doesn't matter because in the end, it's all perfunctory. They're not going to win anything. So maybe they get Bregman. And maybe you address the reliever at the deadline. But David, what can I do? Petzold's done a wonderful job reporting. I think Petzold's been pretty on the money. But none of it is encouraging to the way that I would like to see it done. So therefore, I get two choices. Keep getting angry or say F it. I don't care. If it's good, if the people want to eat the gruel, let them eat the gruel. But the Dodgers have had an effect on me too. I can't lie. It's a disgrace. Total disgrace.
That's fair. I don't even.
Ridiculous. But again, this is why the NFL works and baseball doesn't. There's no competitive balance in baseball. Whatever. All right, I'm sorry. I know I went long on that. But no, I'm not letting you do it. I'm not going to let you bait me into being mad. All right, so we're going to get to who said it at 4:15. I got a couple of housekeeping items. No, Rico, do not go to the Ask Him Anything Scooble thing and start peppering with contract questions. You're a rabble rouser.
No, I did that at the game, but
okay.
Who do you have in the Pegasus race?
No,
race number
no.
three.
We're moving on.
No, Scooble.
Okay. I had something that I did yesterday, baseball related, and then I saw a stat today, and it really bothered me, and I wanted your take on this because you are a baseball guy. Big Braves fan. We were talking yesterday. The Tigers had this. It was a Petzold piece. And I thought Evan's done a really nice job this offseason with this team. With the idea of, you know, they want Bregman. They want a high leverage reliever. But they can't have both. Because somehow it would violate their payroll plan. Whatever.
In the same league as the Dodgers?
Well, I'm getting to that. Okay. Because I think it should bother you as a Braves fan. I think it should bother Tiger fans. I think it should bother Earth. But the Dodgers, Yankees, and Mets have spent a combined $1.5 billion this offseason. Three teams. The other 27 teams in the league have spent $1.3.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how much longer can baseball go on having no competitive balance? You know what I mean? You just feel, what's the point?
No, you're right. But it's funny because it's in a larger way, it feels how we do about college sports where some schools say, I'm going to pay all this money in the world. And other schools are like, well,
we don't have that money.
It's like you're checking the notes. That was my next question to you. No, continue, because then I do have something that relates to that. But go ahead.
No, please. But I mean, it's they're saying that clearly we're trying to win championships and we don't care how much it costs because our fans don't want to see the price tag. They just want to see a trophy.
But how do you make sense of it? And again, we're not a small town, right? We're not Cincinnati. We're not Pittsburgh. We're not Oakland or Vegas or Sacramento, Modesto, wherever they're playing. We're sitting here, and look, I'm not pounding the desk about Alex Bregman. I'd like him, but I also do have some concerns that I've outlined. But the idea that, well, we got to pick, do we sign a reliever or do we try for Bregman? Meanwhile, Rico, the Dodgers have 8 starting pitchers.
Yeah.
They're signing relievers they don't even need. And it's, how do you care anymore? Now, look, you're a Braves fan. Now, I'm not sitting here telling you the Braves are the biggest market team. I think the Braves act small for their city size. They do.
Yeah, they do. They're the southern version of Detroit.
Kind of. But you sit there. They've been a class organization. They compete for the World Series. And you're sitting here looking at the Mets and Dodgers and going, I'm not playing the same sport.
No, they're not. Especially because Atlanta has decided that they're really going full fiscally responsible this offseason. And they're, you can go ahead and go. Max Freak, there you go. You can leave. You can go.
I thank you for that one.
Yeah, and we're not going to even try to be competitive. It makes the offseason frustrating because you feel like your team is not trying because you see your next-door neighbor is trying really hard. And it's like, well, why can't we do what they do? And no matter what they say, it just sounds like an excuse because you're right. You play, there's no cap. You can spend what you want to spend, so go spend it. But to some teams, they feel like, and I guess for Atlanta, they just feel like, look, once we get everybody healthy again, we're going to win. We just happen to have the worst season ever.
But it attacks at the ability to care. And I said this yesterday, and I want to relate this to something else that I wanted your opinion on. But it's hard for me. Like David was trying to kind of bait me into, let's Mike's a wind-up toy. Maybe he'll throw a chair. And I just said, I can't get upset anymore, right? I can't change who the Tigers are, how they want to run their team. And I can't change the sport, and I don't like either. I don't like how they choose to do business, and I don't like how the sport is allowing teams to do or not do business. And that relates to what I wanted to bring up to you. And I just wanted your opinion. I read something today. Jeremiah Smith, who's the mercurial freshman receiver for OSU, has been given offers. Now, not 3-year basis, not a 2-year basis, to just take his talents to somewhere else for 9 months, $5 million.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we talked about revenue sharing and how if they didn't get rid of the collectives, it wouldn't change anything. It would make it worse. Well, here's worse. I'm not mad at Jeremiah Smith. He's a wonderful player. I'm not mad at the kid. I'm mad at the people offering the money. Rico, $5 million for one season outranks almost 99% of guys that will be drafted in the NFL draft this year.
Yeah.
I, whether I'm a boomer or yelling at clouds, I have a problem with that. I don't care how good you are in college. You're not a pro. $5 million for a wide receiver?
See, this is the one time where I'm going to say he's actually worth it. Now, when it's some players and you're like, dude, you sucked. You were the third receiver on this team. He's one where, you put him with the right quarterback, and it's going to end up becoming a championship team. Mike, sports, not just college, professional sports as well, it's boiling down to this. Either you throw everything you can to win a title, or your fan base just says, well, I don't care. And as much as we say, everybody who says college football around here, I hate the game. Man, if Michigan or Michigan State were involved in the playoffs, guess what? You'd love the game. Why? Because it's your team.
But
now,
again,
as far as him for $5 million, he's the one of the few people you're worth what people are willing to pay. And I don't think that it's just like, oh my God, because we've seen him play. He's a grown man.
I know.
And in a few years, he's going to be making money in the NFL.
But that's fine. My point is, I'm happy to have a kid make money. I'm not asking him to make $50.
Yeah.
But $5 million? Come on, man. I mean, I'm just at a point where, like, where are the adults?
And
can we get
it.
Some rules, please?
And here's what I hate hearing. Well, you can't do a salary cap because then you would
they would have to form a union. I'm like, you know what? No, because if I can write you a check, the check could come with stipulations. So plain and simple, have some people say, I'm going to pay you this money, but that means you got to stay here and right. you can't go anywhere. And if you leave, it's a breach of contract and you got to pay me X amount of dollars back in penalty.
I was fine with the revenue sharing if that was the money that was divvied up and there was no NIL. And if you want to pay him $5 million and the other 84 guys on the team have to chop $15 million, well, good luck with your locker room.
Yeah.
But my point is, this is just silly season. Yeah. And I relate it to the baseball thing because I love baseball. I know, oh, old white guy. Yes, I love baseball. But it's hard for me to care. Because what I see a team like Ohio State doing is what the Dodgers are doing. And the way both sports are allowing teams to do or not do, right? It's no different than big-time schools hoarding their cash from TV deals and not spending.
Yeah.
It's the same as baseball owners.
Yeah.
So I wondered if you were accepting of the correlation here. Because both these sports I love or loved, I can't believe they're being run this way.
Yeah. I mean, Mike, really the only sport that's – the NFL hasn't reached that point yet. Because the NBA reached that point to me where it's just like, all right, I don't care. You're going to form the super team here now in Portland. Oh, we're going to form a super team here now. I'm going to leave.
Well, and look at Joel Embiid. Look at Zion. Look at the Jimmy Butler thing. Intentionally missing a flight to go to a dinner party.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you explain that to a – I don't want to do the whole explain it to a kid and you got to – oh, they have the jersey.
Now how do you explain it to your teammates?
I was going to say, how do I explain it to an adult? I'm with you. I just – it gets to a point where, you know what? Keep it.
Right. You tell me, oh, hey, look, you know, my kid went into the hospital. Understand. Well, it was a dinner party. I must have been really good egg rolls because you missed the flight.
David, a couple of ticket texts. I just wanted Rico's take on those two things.
No, but Mike, real quick, David, you're correct. It's what's making it frustrating for the fans. That's why I don't get mad when people say, hey, I don't like this sport. You don't like the sport because it doesn't look like your team is trying.
Right.
And it takes away from your will of buying in.
Mm-hmm.
If your team was winning, like Buckeye fans love the new
playoff. If you're a Dodger fan, you don't care.
Right.
But I'm trying to take it from the viewpoint of the 99%, not the one. And it's like, gee whiz.
They make it hard, but I think that's just where we are with sports across the board.
Well, I'll just give you a plain example from my household. I've already told you that my oldest son loves the Padres. They were that close to beating the Dodgers in the playoffs. And yet now he's given up because of what the Dodgers have done. He's like, well, then my team isn't even trying anymore. Why? It makes no sense.
And then we sit here in Detroit and you bring up the story.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, if they sign a reliever, they can't have Bregman. And I'm like, it's $35 million.
It's just
these teams are spending $35 billion. It's crazy. Like Michigan State, I'm pumped up if they land a transfer guard. Meanwhile, Ohio State's got a $5 million receiver.
I mean, I guess the beauty of it is it wasn't for State fended off people for Nick Marsh. And it was just like he was going for.
Just take him.
Not $5 million, but you just want a level playing field.
That's really what it is.
And it is. You just want to walk into the season until you lose your second or third game feeling we got a chance.
Because that's the problem that I have with the example of Jeremiah Smith, the $5 million. And you're right, Rico, on surface, that, oh, yeah, he's great. He deserves that money. But the problem I have is there's going to be some guy that does an NIL collector for another school somewhere that says, oh, I think I have the next Jeremiah Smith. And then they're going to try to go over to get that guy when he's not worth it at all.
Right.
Just have a standard.
See, and that's the problem. I can go on.
I know. I didn't mean to loop
Mike,
into that.
Great topic. First time caller, long time.
I know.
But yes, certain players, I don't mind if they make the money because this kind of was made for people like that to really capitalize.
Yeah.
It's when the Rashadas and all of these people who just jump from team to team, you're on your fifth team, son.
Right,
you're no good.
It's a clown car. And don't even get, and we're not doing this. Don't even get me started on college basketball. Just leave it alone.